Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study this morning is entitled One More, and this is part three. And this is our opening take. A long time ago, Jesus told a story of a good shepherd who had how many sheep? 100 sheep, and he led them safely back to the sheepfold by evening time, but in the counting process, realized that there was one missing sheep, one lost sheep. Jesus then told the story of a woman who had 10 coins, and as she was counting them up one day, realized that there were only 9. There was one lost coin. And on that same day that Jesus told those stories, he wrapped up with a third story by saying, a father had how many sons? 2 sons. And a household full of workers and servants. One son, the youngest, took his inheritance, left home, and wasted it and himself on riotous living. And all the while, the father watched and waited for the one lost son to return. The shepherd, the woman, and the father searched, they swept, and watched and waited for the one lost sheep, the one lost coin, and the one lost son. They were not satisfied with the 99, or with the 9, or with a household that is filled with a family and servants, so they did all that they could for the one which was lost. One more was their heart's desire. And you know what I'm thinking today? I'm thinking that this is not a bad way for Christians to live their lives today. Will you please bow your heads with me and pray? Our Father in heaven, in the midst of our worship now, we take time to consider your sacred word. As we do so, we invite your Holy Spirit, which is in this place, to walk up and down the aisles of the church to touch our hearts and our minds with simple Bible truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15. We wish to consider our text once again. Luke chapter 15, our key verse is verse number 8, but we'll start at the beginning of the chapter to get our context once again. So Luke chapter 15, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, what did they do? Yeah, they murmur, they complained incessantly, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So how did Jesus respond? Well, he responded by telling the story of the one lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. For today, we're hitting with the story on the lost silver coin, which we read at verse number 8. Which Jesus tells these church leaders, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, what does she do? Yeah, she doth light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. The point? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over how many sinners that repent? One that repents. So this chapter here in Luke 15, I believe, is full of grace and truth. Its three consecutive parables teaches a truth that is vital for the church today and comes from it in different angles, in different ways. And remember, Jesus is telling these three stories in response to what? Help me out. In response, why is he telling these three stories? Yeah, because the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the church at that day, the pastors and the conference presidents, murmuring and complaining about Jesus' M.O., his mode of operation. What did he do? They said, you're spending too much time. No, actually, you're spending time with sinners and eating with them. So then his response to their childish complaints was the sharing of the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In the first two stories, we see the good shepherd and the woman searching for that which was lost. And in the third and last story, we see that which is lost, that is the wayward son, finding his way back home to his father. With these three stories, Christ teaches that God's mercy stretches its hand to the lost. And by the way, how many who have ever lived on planet Earth outside of Jesus are in that category? Everybody. And so we see the three stories. God's mercy stretches its hand to the lost. Grace, God's grace, receives men as sinners. It lovingly deals with sin. It lovingly deals with unworthiness. It lovingly deals with what some consider worthlessness, although no one is worthless in the eyes of God. The unrighteous, the guilty, and the undeserving are subjects of the infinite mercy of God. God does not want one to be lost. His attitude is, what's his attitude? One more. And I believe in these three stories that Jesus told that we see a picture of the entire God family, what the Apostle Paul called the Godhead, what the Christian world calls the Holy Trinity. I believe in these three stories, we see the love and mercy in symbol of the entire Godhead. In the first story, we have the shepherd. In the second story, we have the woman. And in the third story, we have the father. Now, I don't believe that this is the main point of the three stories. The main point of these three stories is that God's purpose in coming to planet Earth was to save the lost. But what I'm suggesting, another thought here to go along with that, it's the entire God family that is part of the picture. When you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who's the good shepherd? Jesus is. Oftentimes in the Bible, when God is referring to his Spirit-led people, his Spirit-filled church, God used the symbol of what to describe the Spirit-filled church? A woman. And then the third story, you have the wayward son who leaves his family and comes back, and who all the time, who's watching and waiting and keeping, standing on the front porch of the house, keeping his eyes on the distant horizon. Who's the one that's doing that? The Father. And so I believe we have this picture. Yeah. Jesus is asked, why do you spend so much time with sinners? And not only that, you eat and dine out with them. And Jesus says, I'll tell you why. I came to seek and save that which is lost. For today, his response would be, I came for the lost coin. And so let's consider the story and thoughts that we see in the text here, in the picture. The first point is this. We notice that the coin that is lost in the dust and dirt of the floor. Where is it lost? Yeah, in the dust and the dirt of the floor. The woman had lost her coin, and in order to find it, she had to sweep the floor for it. It's highly likely. It's what? It's highly likely that it had fallen into a dusty place where it was hidden and concealed amongst the dust and dirt of the floor. Most homes, at least as we read a little bit of the early church fathers, when we study material and archaeology from where places have been excavated from the first century, we find out that most homes during that time had, guess what kind of floors? Yeah, they were dirt floors. And so the silver coin is lost somewhere amongst the dirt and dust of that house. So how are we going to look at that? What lesson might we learn from this? I would like to suggest this. The Bible says that we all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about how even our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. I would like to suggest that we are like the lost silver coin. That is, we've all been mishandled and dropped. The dirt and mess of this world has affected us. Along with this, we understand that we're probably in different places on the floor, so to speak. We're not all dropped in the same place. One coin might be lost over in the corner of the house. Another might be lost in the middle of the floor by the chair. But regardless of the particular place and case, you can be sure that the lost coin in the dust and dirt of the house will be found. How many of you are grateful for that? Amen? Yeah, because we've all, guess what? We have all, in one way or the other, in one place or another, we have all been in that situation. The reason why I'm in the church today, and the reason why you're in the church today, is because we have been found amongst the mess of our life, and we have considered the one who is searching for the lost coin. Is that true? That we have all been messed up with the selfishness and the sin of this world. There's some good things in this world, but there's a lot of not so good things, and it messes us up. Doesn't look very good, doesn't smell very good. Many of you know that my aunt and uncle who took me in when I was 8 years old, my uncle was a garbage man. I was raised around garbage. And even from when I was in elementary school and in junior high, before I got my license, on Sundays, we'd go down to the garbage company and wash garbage trucks. And after a week of collecting garbage, the trucks were not clean. Now, at that time, that was like the late 60s. I'm probably dating myself a little bit. That was like in the 60s and through the early 70s. And all the garbage trucks at that time were side loaders. And then, like in the mid-70s, the company sold the side loaders and the rear loaders came out. And after I got my license, my dad taught me how to drive the trucks. He taught me a lot of the routes. And so when I was in high school, all through high school and some of the summers in college, and even I think after I finished my master's degree, I was home in the Seattle area for a while before I was placed. So I asked my dad, do you have any work? And so I ran garbage routes. One particular morning, I was on the back of the hopper of a rear loader. Sun was just coming up, and a vehicle was coming opposite us, and he was going way too fast. Got airborne over a little bit of the rise in the road there. Got airborne, landed in our lane as the truck was coming this way. The vehicle swerved, lost control, and that was a horrible accident. But the driver of the garbage truck had to hit the brakes solid and hard, and I was on the back step of the hopper. And what a mess. Yes, Paula, I went head first into the back of the hopper. And the back of the hopper was about half filled with all kinds of rubbish and garbage. It was raining that day like it always does in the Seattle area, so the garbage was sloshing around. And I went in head first. And I remember bonking my head, and when I came to my senses, I sat up in the midst of all this. I remember spitting something out. And I was tempted to look at it, but decided I didn't want to know. Climbed out of the truck, and then we saw the reality of the situation and got on the radio and called for help. But I know what it's like to be in the middle of rubbish and mess. I wasn't a pretty sight. Well, you know what the reality is? Spiritually, we all have what? Been in the rubbish. We all have lived selfishly. We all have been affected by sin. We all have been hurt in various different ways. But the good news is, even though we might be that lost coin down in the corner there, covered with some dirt and dust, we can be sure that there is one who has lit the candle and grabbed the broom. And Jesus is telling the story. Why is he telling the story? Well, because some scribes and Pharisees came along and said, you're spending time with this kind of people. And Jesus responds back simply to say, that's what I'm here for. And everybody in the church this morning ought to say, amen. Amen. I'm grateful. And since this is the case, the question is, we know what God's attitude is. We know what Christ's attitude was in searching for the lost. Since that is the case, what should our attitudes be who have accepted Christ as our Savior and our Lord? The attitude of every Christian should be the same as Jesus. The first thing about a Christian should be his Christianity. And here we see the picture of Jesus saying, I have come to save the lost. And in his gospel commission, he asks you and I to pick up and follow in his footsteps to do the same. The church today, living at this time in earth's history, we ought to have the same attitude. Not satisfied with 99 sheep, we want what? One more. Not satisfied with 9 silver coins, we want what? One more. If you only have 9 out of 10 coins, we are then called to search for the lost one. Well, the accusations against Jesus was simply, you receive sinners and eat with them. Jesus answers and said, yes, I'm searching for the lost coin. I have come to seek and save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul would put it this way to the believers at the church in Corinth. You remember when he said, for though I be free from all men. By the way, how did the Apostle Paul get free from all men? By accepting Jesus as his personal Savior. Now he's following Jesus, but notice he says, though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant to all that I might gain the more. What was the purpose of the Apostle Paul deciding, since he accepted Christ, he was going to serve all men? What was the purpose behind that? That he might gain the more. He said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means do what? Save some. By the way, if you were to look at that word some there, he said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. If you were to look at that word some, its definition is a certain one. One more. That was the Apostle Paul's attitude. And he said, this I do for the sake of the gospel. So when he was with the Jews, how was he? He spent time with the Jews. He operated as a Jew. For what purpose? That he might gain the Jew who did not believe. Many of them, most of them at that time, did not believe in Christ as the Messiah. He said, when I was with those who were with law, I was as with law, that I might gain those ones. When I was with those who were without law, I was as without law. Why? That I might gain those. He said, when I was with the weak, I became what? Weak. Why? That he might gain the weak. The job of the follower of Christ is to continue the work that he had. And if we have been found by God in any of the various ways that God uses, if we are now part of the family of God and members of his church, I believe our attitude and task is the same as Jesus, or should be the same as Jesus' attitude and task. And in this story, that was to seek for the lost coin. We might have 9 kept in the safe, but we are to search for the one more. In the dust of the house somewhere, there's a lost coin. And the command is, find it. Another thought from the text that we see is that the lost silver coin was altogether ignorant of its being lost. What's the point? Did the coin know that it was lost? No, it couldn't. The silver coin is not a living thing, therefore it had no idea or clue of its being lost or sought after. The lost coin was quite as content, is what I'm suggesting. You think about it. The lost coin was quite as content to be on the floor in the dust and the dirt as it was to be in the purse of its owner. It knew nothing about being lost, nor could it know. And many times it is just so with the individual. What do you think? Many times it is just so with the individual who is messed up with the selfishness and sin of this world. The Bible describes this condition in the book of Romans as being dead in sin. And in that condition, that which is lost may not have a clue of his own situation. So as the church considers the idea of the lost coin, as it considers the task of searching for one more, it would be good to remember the lost coin's situations and conditions. Let us sweep the floor thoughtfully and carefully. If we go throughout the house, not very thoughtful and careful, grabbing the broom and just hastily banging around the house, all that we do is raise the dust, cough and hack, and decrease visibility. And if that's the case, there's a good chance the lost coin will what? Remain lost. And so as we consider the idea of a church as individuals, as Christians following in the footsteps of Jesus, Are we to search for the lost coin? Yes. But remember, oftentimes the lost coin doesn't know that it's lost. And sometimes as Christians, we barge into situations and we bring down the hammer, bring down the broom a little too hard. Has the church ever been guilty of that? The first century church was. The scribes and Pharisees wouldn't even look at those people, and if they did, they gave a look that was not very nice and crossed the street to go the other way. So as we work and look for the lost coin, we are careful and should be thoughtful and cognizant of the fact that there are some who just right now don't have a clue. And so how do we meet them? We put ourselves in their situation. The Apostle Paul says, yeah, there are those who are without law. They're just living, you know. He says, I'm going to put myself in their situation. He says, I'm not going to break God's law, but I'm going to put myself in their situation, get to know them for what purpose? So that I can gain those who are without law. Another point in the story we see, the silver coin was lost, but it was not forgotten. The woman knew she had 10 pieces of silver. She counted them carefully and realized there were now only 9. But she well knew and remembered that the one more was hers and ought to be in her hand. She did not think or say, well, it's only one coin. I'll be happy and okay with 9. No, she knew the one and could not forget it, and immediately started her search. So God knows and remembers every lost coin. What do you think? God what? He knows and remembers every lost coin, every lost soul. The lost are not forgotten in the eyes and the heart of God. The heart of the Savior knows them and gave his life for them. He has done what he could to redeem them. And today, as we are in church, Jesus ministers in the heavenly sanctuary for the purpose of forgiving and cleansing all who will come to him. And he asks you and I to not forget. Jesus doesn't forget. He asks you and I to not forget and diligently live and search for that which is lost. You remember in the Gospel Commission recorded in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go. I want you to what? I want you to go. Well, go and what? Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe how many things that I taught you? Everything. And lo, I'm with you for how long? Always, even to the... So that's the Gospel Commission. And the main part of the Gospel Commission, and we'll dive into it a little bit more in a couple of weeks, the main part of the Gospel Commission, Jesus says, go and what? Go and teach all nations. That's the main part. Go and search. You know, go and look. And if you were to study that word teach, you would find out that it's not the word like didaskalos, which is to give a lesson, but it's the word mathetes, which we translate disciple. And it's in a verbal form there. So it's go and make disciples of all nations. That's the main task. And sometimes in the church, I don't know if you've noticed this, I have. Sometimes in the church, when we have our big meetings and everything, and I'm happy that we have our big meetings like at the conference office every, you know, 4 or 5 years, and here we have our business meetings and we give the statistics and the reports. And oftentimes in our big meetings where we give our reports, we conclude with something. Guess what we conclude with? We conclude with the number of baptisms that we had for the year. Now, the text here in Matthew 28 does say that we are to baptize, But that's not the main goal. Baptisms is not the main goal. And don't throw the pastor out the window too fast here, because let me tell you the main goal. The main goal, Jesus did not say, go and baptize all nations. He said, go and what? Teach all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the goal. Well, how do we get the goal? Well, we get the goal by leading people to Christ and baptizing them and then continue teaching them the things that Jesus taught us. So that's the steps, that's the methods of people becoming disciples of Christ and following in his footsteps. So the goal is not teaching doctrine. The goal is not, you know, we open up the tank back here. And I enjoy the days we open up the tank and we see people being baptized. But what's the point? Well, the point is not like in 2024, there were a little over 1.4 million baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide. That's not the point. What's the point? Jesus says, I want you to go and what? Teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations. And that's kind of subjective. That's kind of hard to quantify. And yet we need to, as a church, as, you know, they're asking Jesus, why are you spending time with these folk? He didn't say, I'm spending time with these folks so that they can be straight on the 2300-day prophecy of Daniel chapter 8. You know, and that's important. I believe we should understand those things. But that's a small step to something. What does a small step do? It's a small step in making disciples. Our task is to search for the lost coin. God remembers every lost coin. He knows every lost person. Just a couple more points to wrap up with. The lost coin was not only remembered and claimed, it was also valued. The lost coin was what? Yeah, it was valued. In the three stories, the value of the lost article steadily rises. This is not very clear at first sight, because it may be said that a sheep is of more value than a lost silver coin. But notice that the shepherd only lost one sheep out of how many? 100. But the woman lost one piece out of 10, and the father one son out of 2. So the percentage of loss to the owner increases as the stories unfold. The one piece of money to the woman was a tenth part of what she had. Thus, to her, it was very valuable. It was valuable in her esteem. And to the Lord of love, every lost soul, what's the lesson? Is valuable. This is not so much because of our intrinsic value, but is so because God sets a high rate of return. God sets a high rate of love and esteem for us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit value souls, even if it's just what? Even if it's just one. And therefore, the church ought to prize them as well. The last note we wish to mention is once the woman set her heart on finding the lost silver coin, she used the proper means to accomplish her task. First, she lit a candle. What did she do first? Yeah, a little candle. In most Eastern dwellings of the first century, houses were not only, most of them had dirt floors, but most of them were very dark. Glass was not used as windows at this time yet. And windows of the homes were these little slits in the walls. So even in the daytime, there was not a lot of natural light that illuminated the inside of the home. So if something were dropped or misplaced, what did they do? They lit the candle and didn't hide it under a bushel, but set it where? On a stand in the middle of the room. So this woman lit her candle, and it then illuminated and dispelled the darkness, and she grabbed the broom and started carefully sweeping the floor until what? Until she found her lost coin. So Jesus heard the murmurings of the church elders and the church leaders. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Well, how does Jesus respond? In this story, he responds by saying, I'm lighting my candle. I'm grabbing the broom and sweeping the floor, looking for the lost coin. I have 9, but I desire 1 more. And the Church of the Living God at this time in Earth's history must make sure it lights the candle as well. You and I as individuals, but make sure that we light the candle. And once we light the candle, get the broom out. I've had some people ask me when I've talked about the broom thing, well, what does that mean? Well, getting the broom out might mean it's just the way that we go through the stuff on the floor to find that which is lost. And that might take in all kinds of things. It's usually not a very pretty job. Sometimes working with people is a difficult thing. By the way, do you know why sometimes working with people is a difficult thing? Because people are people just like you and me. What's my job as a Christian? What's your job as a Christian? Well, to turn on the light. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And if you and I accept Jesus as our personal Savior and trust Him as our Lord, then the Bible says we become light because He lives in us. And by the way, the Old Testament light, it was a lamp. It had the wax there, it had the wick, and it had the oil. In the Bible, what does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. And so what does the church need to do? It needs to make sure it turns the light on. Well, how can it turn the light on? Well, we need the fuel. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives like never before. In fact, I believe that's our greatest need as a church, is fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit there, when the oil's there, we have the fuel and the power to be able to keep our lamps burning. As His followers, then we are commanded, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men. By the way, that before men would be the getting out the broom. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So today we're thinking about this idea of the lost coin. And as we think about it, let's make sure we use the means that the woman used. Let our lights shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to what? Let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to what? Let it shine. And then let it shine till when? Till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. For what purpose? Well, it's all for one more. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have given us the privilege of being a part of your work. And Lord, we bow our heads now in church asking that you would forgive us of our waywardness, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would empower us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and consider His way of life. And Lord, help us to be an encouragement to others. And Father, if there's a soul this week that we can encourage and point to you, we ask that you will help us to see it. And we do this for your glory and honor. And we thank you for even making this possible. In the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we pray. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, Why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org? You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.